Give you all a very warm welcome to our Christmas carol service. Our pastor's been suffering from laryngitis for the last week or so, and he's not quite recovered his voice, so we're delighted to welcome to our pulpit this evening the Reverend Bert Weenink of Abertillery. And we're so grateful to you for agreeing to come to us at such short notice. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather tonight for such a special time of the year as we remember that our God so loved this world that he sent his one and only Son. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his birth in Bethlehem. We thank you for his life on earth as he indeed was one of us. We thank you that although he suffered in many ways, tempted in every possible way, that he never sinned and was able to go to the cross to die for our sins on Calvary. We thank you that he rose again and is alive today and is with us. Thank you, Lord, that Christmas is meaningful because Jesus is real. Lord, may we experience that tonight. Will you lead us as we sing, as the word is read, as we consider your word together. Father, may we all know something of the presence of God and the beauty of your gospel and the preciousness of Jesus. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's good at this time of the year to sing some of the wonderful carols. And so we're going to start tonight with 172, which is, I'm sure, one of the best known carols. O come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll sing verses 1, 2 and 3 of 172 and we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
passages of Scripture from both the Old and the New Testament. And for the first reading, I'm calling on Mr. Malcolm Davies. Thank you.
The reading's taken from the 9th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then from the 11th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, the first four verses. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked.
Thank you. It's amazing, isn't it, to read about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, 700 years before he was born. Let's once again join our voices as we sing our second carol, 175. Once in Royal David City, through the lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed, Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ her little child. We'll sing verses 1 to 4, the first four verses from 175.
Oh,
Mr. Bob Ritchis will now do the second reading. Thank you.
Reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Please turn now to hymn number 179. This precious carol, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Let's remain seated as we sing 179. next reading will now be given by the Reverend Derek Rapps.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2 and the first 7 verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. Please turn with me to 184 in the hymn book. We are there part of the scene as the shepherds experienced it, as they saw and heard the angel and the glory of God. So we'll sing together while shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. The angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. We'll stand to sing 184. Upon Mr. Paul Young now to come forward and read that passage that we've just sung about.
The reading is taken from St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Thank you. Once again, we join our voices as we turn to 164. 164, brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star of the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid. We'll stand to sing 164.
Oh,
Mr. Mike Holder will now bring to us the final reading.
The readings from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's chapter 2 and the first 12 verses. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
Thank you. We're grateful to all those who have read from the scriptures, and we're grateful to God for the truth of Christmas. Before we consider the words together, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we now bow in your presence expectantly because we thank you that you've given us your word, you've given us your Holy Spirit, and Lord, we pray that you will help us. You'll help us, Lord, to speak according to your will, and to listen, and to receive that what you have prepared. Pray, Lord, that we will have a fresh understanding of why Jesus came, why he was born in a little village, and what he came to do. Pray, Lord, we will understand, and help us, Father, by your Spirit, to respond to the gospel. That glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I must confess that when I was a young preacher, which is not that long ago, obviously, I wasn't always looking forward to Christmas and to preach the gospel, because as a young preacher, I felt that every year I had to come with something new and different. And there are shepherds, there are wise men, Joseph and Mary, and there isn't really that much material. And it was greatly helpful when one day I read this comment by a good theologian who said, be careful, he said, with trying to discover new things. If you discover something new that has never been preached before, it's probably not true. And that greatly helped me. And so tonight, without any apologies, being at ease with this, I want us to go to the old gospel, the story of Christmas. You probably have heard it all before. And I trust that we can rejoice in these old truths and take in the wonder, the mystery of Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, sent by God to become the Savior of the world. I want to take you to a very well-known part of the Christmas story when the angel made a very important announcement to a group of shepherds and said these things: "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." It's not hearing something new, perhaps, But the challenge is, what are you doing with what you hear? So let's consider these words the angel spoke, being the messenger of God. And the first thing he said, which was really necessary, do not be afraid, because they were petrified. I'm sure we all have fears. We are afraid of different things. I'm sorry to say that I am rather afraid of flying, which is unfortunate in a way, because my son and his wife and my grandchildren emigrated to Australia, and going there by car is not attractive, and so you need to fly, and I must be one of the very few people who during the safety briefing actually check whether my life vest is actually there. It's just something I feel rather uneasy. It's nothing compared to the experience of these shepherds. The fact that they were afraid is probably surprising, because in essence, shepherds were not afraid of anything. In those days, a shepherd's life was not easy. They spent most of their time outside, watching over their herd, whatever the weather. They often slept near their flock to protect them from robbers or from wild animals. There were many hardships involved, and it wasn't the most brilliant career a man could have. Pay wasn't great, and there were no bank holidays. Those ending up with the job of shepherd were often rough men who weren't afraid of anything, often rejects of society. Tough guys who could face whatever they were facing. And yet during this night, we find these men terrified. They undoubtedly had never seen an angel before, but I would think it wasn't seeing an angel that scared them most. I believe what was most terrifying was seeing the awesome glory of God. I wish I could describe the glory of God to you in great detail. My knowledge of English is probably not good enough, but even if I would do it in Dutch, I wouldn't be able to do it, and you wouldn't be able to understand it. It's something awesome. Think of a brightness that is so intense, a light that is so pure, a presence that is so holy, that any sinner would be terrified. As we walk into the presence of God, as we are, as people who fall short, as people who have broken his commandments, to walk in that awesome presence is the most terrifying experience that anyone can have. Sometimes you hear people talking flippantly about all the things they will ask God or say to God when they leave this world, almost, as it were, calling him to task. I'm afraid their experience will be rather awesome, and they will have nothing to say to a God who is so much greater than we are, a God in whom there is no darkness, a God who is light, a God who abhors sin, a God who is most awesome. And yet, the angel says, do not be afraid. The natural response would be to be afraid, and sometimes it is good to realize that the presence of God is a fearful experience. And yet on this night, the message from God was, do not fear. God was going to do something that would take away the fear of those who would approach him. God was going to step into history to make it possible for men and women to approach him without that fear. This was a night of good news. This was a night of great joy. This was a night not to be afraid and to run away. This was a night to come and listen to what the angels had to say. I don't know what sort of things you are afraid of. Maybe there are those who are afraid of facing up to God. Well, listen to this great event, because here are the answers to those who are fearful. Here is an answer to those who feel they cannot face God. Because Christmas night, holy night, is not a night of fear. It's a night of good news and great joy. So let us look at that phrase, good news of great joy. Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. We'll come to the good news in a moment, but let me first dwell on this joy, great joy. The word translated great is the word megas in Greek, where our word mega comes from. This is mega joy. It's incredible joy. It's great joy. What is this joy like? Well, let me first say that it is not a joy that is simply walking with a big smile on your face. Don't know whether this illustration will help you. I don't know whether any one of you play the accordion. You don't have to own up to that. But as a teenager, I did not like that instrument. The main reason was that in the last century in Holland, there was a very famous accordion player who, whenever he played, he would smile. And he would smile constantly. He played for 10 minutes, he played for half an hour, he played for an hour, and he would constantly smile. Can you imagine? It was just irritating. And it was unreal. It was phony. The joy of Christmas is not artificial. It's not the sort of happiness that so often disappoints and frustrates. No, this joy is something deeper, something greater, something that goes much further, lasts longer, and fills us when things go well and when things go badly. I'm sure that we all have known times in our life when smiling was difficult, even impossible, when there was sadness, when there were tears. Well, the joy of Christmas is not simply that outward happiness of a smile. It's a deep conviction in our heart that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And although we may have sorrow in our lives, as we perhaps experience loss or face up to great challenges, we may have tears in our eyes, and yet at the same time rejoice that God loves us and that our Savior and our Lord will never leave us. Good news of great joy. Maybe there are those among us here tonight who feel sad, who are struggling. I've heard people say sometimes, well, I'll come to church when I will feel happier in myself. And I would say, that's the wrong decision. Come to church as you are. Come to church with all your burdens. Come to church while you're not feeling right, while you're feeling down. Of course, the opposite, people are welcome as well. But come as you are and find hope in this gospel that can reach us, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever we feel. Good news of great joy. So what is this good news? Well, the angel simply said this: today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Today. There was a day in history that this was actually today. Today is a night and a day of good news, the angel said. This is the night of great joy. This is the moment in history that God has been preparing for from before the foundation of the world. It was not just an afterthought. God had this in mind even before he created anything. The Old Testament is full of prophecies announcing that someone greater than Abraham, greater than Moses, greater than David, or greater than Elijah is coming. One day, God would send someone very special who would change things forever. In the beginning, when God made everything well, and man was given much, man sinned against him, and the relationship between God and man was a broken relationship. But God promised that one day he would send someone who would bridge that gap between a holy God and sinful man, someone who could reach out to those who could not come to God on their own record, someone who would save them from their sin. The Messiah, God's special servant, will come. The angel speaking to the shepherd said, "This is it. This is that moment." It's important for us to grasp that this was a day in history. A very simple illustration that falls very much short, but my wife and I had a very historical day on the 12th of October 2016. When a fortnight after my retirement of church leadership, we moved from Yate near Bristol to Abertillery. And we had been preparing for it for quite a number of months. And I still remember waking up in the morning saying to my dear wife, "Today is the day. Today we are beginning a new chapter in our life." And we were quite overcome with the awesomeness of that today. Well, that was a very insignificant day to the course of history. This day, the angel said, today in the town of David, in that town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the one promised. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is Yahushua. He is Jesus. He is the one that was promised from the beginning. He is the one coming into the world. That moment for God to open heaven, that moment when God through his Son was able to change sinners into saints, where God could shower his lavish grace on sinners who are to be saved by his wonderful love. As it says in the Bible, many of you may know that verse very well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Today is the day, the angel said, that this person has come into the world, that this person has been born in Bethlehem. This person will make a difference. This person has come today. You see, the joy of Christmas is not about cozy feelings. It's not about decorations. It's not about good food or precious family time. This is not about the happiness that is here today and gone tomorrow. This is history. This is something that happened, that is God ordained, that is permanent. Something amazing happened. The Word became flesh. God, the Son, divine, He became one of us. He took on flesh. He lived among us. He walked the streets on this earth, the streets of Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem. There he was, Jesus Christ, God's Son among us, in order to save us from our sin. He suffered for us and gave his life for us, so that all those who trust in him may live forever. A Savior has been born. And he's been born, the angel said, for all the people. Let me read again what the angel said. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. For all the people, for all. Jesus came for lowly shepherds and for high-born wise men and everyone in between. This good news of great joy is for you here as well. You may say to me, well, you don't know me, and that is true. But I know the word of God, and I know that the good news is for all, is for everyone. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever your past, the joy of Christmas is for all people, including you. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who say, well, I just don't feel worthy of coming in faith to God. I don't feel worthy, really, to be inside the church. I don't feel worthy to be here regularly. I don't feel worthy to be part of this thing that you're telling me about, because I fall so far short. I don't feel good enough. But let me tell you, it's good if you don't feel good enough, because that is exactly what the gospel says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one of us is good enough. No one of us measures up to the perfect standards of God. We all fall short. And so if you feel you're falling short, then you are just in the same position as all of us here today. People in church are not the people, at least not supposed to be, who think they're better than others. The people who know they fall short and need a Savior. How precious must it be for the shepherds when the angel said to them, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Can you see the amazement on the faces of the shepherds? For us, they were despised by people in the town. They were rejects. No one would pay any no one would respect them, no one would give them any honor. People avoided them. And here was an angel sent by God and telling them that a Savior had been born to them. And on the basis of this gospel, I can say a Savior has been born to you, whoever you are. The birth of Jesus is also for you. As we draw to a close, I want you to notice one more thing, and that is, let me just first read to you, well, I can't read it, but let me first say what it doesn't say. Sometimes people respond in the wrong way. When the angel had left them, had left the shepherds and gone into heaven, the shepherds went back to looking after their sheep, back to everyday things. It doesn't say that. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about. There are people who can see a nativity play, or go to a church service, or perhaps see a performance of the Messiah, or hear the word preached, or read a passage from Scripture, and maybe say, well, that's a lovely story, and then get back to their everyday routine as if God hadn't spoken. I pray there is no one here in this church tonight who will treat the gospel in that way and say, well, that was good, or maybe you say that was not so good, and you walk out and that's it. I would say, well, don't walk away. The shepherds were very wise in their response and say, well, Let's see this thing that the angel has told us about. Let's go to Bethlehem and see for ourselves. And so they went to Bethlehem and found the babe in the manger, just as the angel had told them, of course. And they worshipped him and shared all they had heard from the angel. The thing to do is, when you hear the Christmas gospel, is to ask yourself the question, am I going to walk away from this? No. I must explore. I must consider this. Maybe you still have questions, and that's okay. Well, go and speak to someone in this church who you know well. Speak to the pastor. Speak to me if you wish. And ask those questions. Read the Word of God. Come back on Christmas morning. Come back next Sunday. Pray to God. Ask him to help you to understand. Don't walk away from Jesus. Don't walk away from salvation. Don't walk away from God's answer to your sin. Because if you do not find forgiveness for your sins, then one day those sins will condemn you forever. God will condemn you. But God doesn't want to do that, because this is not a message of condemnation. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So I plead, consider the gospel. Respond. Pray even as you sit there. Ask God to help you to understand. Trust in him, repenting of your sin, believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Experience the wrath of God on your behalf. The birth of Jesus is in the end only good news of great joy to those who believe. May God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of the Christmas gospel. We now pray, Lord, that you would help us all to respond in thankfulness. You've given us so much, Lord, so undeserved, and yet so glorious. We thank you for Jesus, Lord, and pray that if there is anyone here tonight who has not come forward to trust in Jesus, that you will work in their hearts even now for them to open their hearts, to confess their sin, and trust in Jesus. Bless your gospel, Lord, and build your church. For Jesus' sake, amen. We sing our final carol, which is 166. 166, Christians, awake, salute the happy morn, whereon the Saviour of the world was born. Rise to adore the mystery of love, with hosts of angels chanted from above. With them the joyful tidings first began, of God incarnate and the Virgin's Son. It's time to sing 166.
Oh,
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and then forevermore. Amen.